Welcome to the latest episode of the Catalyst Health, Wellness, and Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bradford Cooper, and today's guest is Dr. Emma Mosley, a sports psychology specialist from Solent University in the UK, and she has a very interesting focus in her research, heart rate variability, or maybe you've heard of it as HRV. Dr. Mosley and I both spoke at a conference in Germany last summer, and I was intrigued by how her research could be so applicable in both athletic as well as general health and wellness settings. We start off a little bit technical, but we quickly get in the nuts and bolts in terms of how you can apply HRV to your daily personal, professional, and athletic life in a number of very interesting ways. So hang in there with us through that first section. Before we jump into the interview, we have three really exciting announcements. So let me run through those quickly, and then we'll jump into this thing. Starting this Wednesday, we'll be shifting the release date of our core episodes to Wednesday mornings. So this week, you're actually going to get a double dose. And frankly, with everything going on in the world right now, you're not going to want to miss this. We'll be speaking with a nationally recognized author, physician, who also has a master's in public health, and he'll be here to discuss the realities of the coronavirus. So don't miss that one, Wednesday morning. Then starting next Monday, we'll launch our weekly 5-minute Monday Morning Catalyst. What is a Monday Morning Catalyst? You'll have to tune in to find out, but I can promise you, you're not going to want to miss it. Last thing, with all the travel restrictions many of you are facing with your work or just family situations, we've worked closely with the NBHWC, the National Board for Health and Wellness Coaching, to develop a new option for those who want to pursue the Wellness Coach certification and sit for the National Board exam potentially, but travel is just not an option right now. So in addition to our current certification programs, which you're already aware of, you now have access to something called the At-Home Fast Track, and it's available immediately. You can check out all the details at catalystcoachinginstitute.com, or as always, feel free to email us at results@catalystcoachinginstitute.com. Now, let's jump into this interview with Dr. Emma Mosley on this episode of the Catalyst Health, Wellness, and Performance Podcast. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Emma Mosley to the show today. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk HRV. We'll get into what it is here in a second, but how did you come to study HRV as one of your focal areas?
So during my time as an undergraduate, I really enjoyed psychology and physiology. And I always kind of found myself between the two areas, really not knowing which one I wanted to specialize in for my dissertation, for example. I then, on my placement year, was a research assistant at Staffordshire University under Professor Mark Jones. And they were doing very much the challenge and threat research and using psychophysiology as a means to kind of underpin athletic performance and understanding how people perform under pressure. So I really kind of found my calling through that experience. And from there, kind of stumbled across heart rate variability as a measure that was accessible to me at the time. And then from there, I just kind of found that there were lots of gaps in the research. And that's pretty much how I've kind of carved my way into this area, to be honest.
So that's interesting. So we've had a couple of guests, Carla Mann, for example, on the podcast talking about challenge threat. So literally, this is a tool that you use to help identify the differential between those two?
So heart rate variability isn't actually one of the cardiac markers of challenge and threat. It's definitely been suggested in really recent research, actually, papers in 2019 have suggested that it might be something that is worth looking into. But actually, in terms of challenge and threat research, it doesn't fall within the original cardiac markers. But it's definitely got scope for that particular area.
Interesting. Okay, so let's get our listeners, and frankly me too, up to speed on this idea of heart rate variability, or HRV. And for our listeners, we'll go back and forth between the two. So HRV, or heart rate variability. My understanding is it's the variation in the time interval between consecutive heartbeats, and we measure it in milliseconds. So a normal, healthy heart obviously doesn't tick exactly evenly like a metronome. It instead, it's a little bit longer between this one and a little bit less between that one. And this is the confusing part to me. So let's talk about this for a second. The variability increases during relaxing activities and decreases during stressful activities. Am I getting that right? What else is important in terms of laying the groundwork for folks listening in?
Yeah. Okay. So there's definitely a little bit of confusion potentially around what heart rate variability actually is, and then what we can use as kind of researchers and practitioners in terms of indexing what that measure actually means. So you're definitely right. Heart rate variability is the time measured between the R peaks in a QRS complex. So for those people that are listening that don't necessarily have a medical background, your QRS complex comes from an ECG, and the R peaks are the big parts on the ECG that represent a heartbeat. So we're measuring the time in between those two peaks, which is also known as the interbeat interval. So heart rate variability does correspond to that interbeat interval. So that's definitely what heart rate variability is, like you said. And like you also said, a healthy heart isn't a metronome. So, you know, our heart isn't beating every single second across a minute. So we don't have 60 beats per minute, and it is just beating at every single second. It is always changing, which is good. So we want a variable heartbeat. This means that we are adapting to our environment. We're able to kind of face the challenges that we are having in our environment, and we're able to self-regulate within that from a psychophysiological level. Now, what is of interest particularly to us and to me in my research is what actually controls heart rate variability. And this is where a lot of the research actually is in around this particular area. So the control of our heart rate is obviously linked to two areas of the autonomic nervous system. So, you know, the system that's involved in fight or flight. So mm-hmm. that's probably quite recognized by a lot of the listeners. Now, previously, it was thought that we could kind of index sympathetic activity, so the side of the autonomic nervous system that speeds everything up, with heart rate variability. Now, this isn't necessarily the case, because it's not necessarily fast enough to be able to impact our heart rate to change it from that beat-to-beat interval. Now, we know that the parasympathetic influence on the heart is actually fast enough to create this change in interbeat interval. Now, the reason for this is because it's innervated by the vagus nerve. Now, the vagus nerve comes from the brain, and it directly innervates the heart, and it actually changes our heart rate. So this is why, if anyone's kind of looked into any of the research, they're talking a lot about cardiac vagal activity rather than heart rate variability in itself. So heart rate variability is more about the measure, so the way in which we get that information, but cardiac vagal activity is actually what we're interested in terms of theory and research.
Okay, so let's bring it down to the practical level. I've got a Garmin that I use for triathlon training, running training, that kind of stuff. And it provides an option where you can go in and do an HRV measurement each morning. And, and they're very particular about, you want to, you know, purge, don't have your coffee, don't eat anything, don't exercise, just get up, go to the bathroom, and then do this test. And it'll give you not an HRV number, but a stress number on a 0 to 100 scale. Are those meaningful? Are they accurate? Do they tell us anything? Or is it just a little game we're playing for now until we can really dial it in more accurately?
Yeah, it's quite difficult, because it's not necessarily a representation of stress. It would also be important to know what kind of measurement they're using, which then gives you the number. So it'll be obviously on a scale 0 to 100, 100 obviously being a more variable heart rate, which is better. There's definitely benefits of doing that, particularly when you're waking up in the morning, because heart rate variability is a very sensitive measure. So for example, it's affected by caffeine, sleep, etc.
Right.
So we can look at that and it can help to inform training, for example. So say you've been training 3 days on the trot, and you've been doing some really kind of like heavy lifting or endurance-based stuff, and you look at your heart rate variability in the morning and it's lower than your normal baseline. Now, that would suggest that maybe you need to train slightly lighter on that day because you're potentially a little bit fatigued and you're perhaps not going to be able to adapt to the environment and the stresses that might be in that environment for that particular time. So there's definitely a benefit of using like your Garmin or the Polar heart rate monitors. But we also would definitely advise that that's not necessarily the best practice for research-based evidence. But in terms of like day-to-day wellness, there's definitely a benefit in doing that.
Okay, so are there other apps that are readily available to folks that maybe instead of using the Garmin, they pull up, and then are those, do those mix with the Garmin heart rates or the Polar heart rates? Or what would you suggest to the person that's out there saying, either, and we'll talk about specifically athletes here in a minute and specifically generally health and wellness, but just any suggestions out of the gate that would be readily available and better than maybe a Garmin or a Polar or something provides?
Yeah, so the Polar I've used myself, and I find in terms of like a day-to-day measurement is pretty reliable. Using the Elite HRV app, I don't know if you're aware of that one, that's also quite a good one. It can be used with a Polar belt, and you also get that kind of similar day-to-day monitoring. But what you can also do using this app is almost have this kind of like live feedback of what your heart rate variability is doing during potential activities. So you could use this potentially when you're working with an athlete on the court, so a tennis player, for example. And it just gives you an idea of what's happening in the moment. Again, kind of that disclosure of it's not necessarily 100% accurate. Obviously, sure. Heart variability also gets affected by movement. But it's also a good measure to potentially see how well somebody's pre-performance routine might work before serving in tennis, for example. So if they're implementing some kind of breathing strategy, it might show if they're able to increase that number before they then do a serve. So there's definitely apps out there that you can use kind of in the moment. And I would definitely recommend that for kind of like coaching purposes. And it's a nice way to be able to kind of index what's happening in the moment in terms of heart rate variability.
And the practical application of that, so you mentioned tennis, you would literally, or I'm thinking of a free throw shooter in basketball, you're not saying let's look at how do they bring their heart rate down from, you know, 140 to 52 while they're standing at the free throw line, see if they're relaxed. You're saying the HRV can give us additional insights into whether that breathing technique is working to relax them prior to taking that shot, or does it have nothing to do with relaxation and the kind of the psychobiological, and it's all about just body's recovery?
Yeah, and I think, again, that's a really good question. So it's not necessarily that heart rate variability is an index of stress or relaxation, but it's more about self-regulation. So is this athlete able to use a breathing strategy, which we know can actually influence heart rate variability quite significantly, to be able to better prepare themselves for a challenge that they might face? So a lot of the kind of research around this is that the higher our heart rate variability or cardiac rate activity, to be more scientifically, is actually better in terms of our executive function. So the higher our heart rate variability, actually the better our decision-making, for example, or emotional control or inhibition. So it's not necessarily I'm stressed or I'm relaxed. It's more about how well can I adapt? How well can I function in this environment because of the link between the heart and the brain, if that makes sense.
That is so interesting. Okay, so let me run down a slightly different path. If some people actually their heart rates come up as they're preparing for something important, their excitement level, their energy, whatever it is. And you're saying the benefit of the HRV is you're not simply looking at, did you bring your basic heart rate level down to 52 or whatever? It's saying it doesn't matter if it's at 80, 85, 100, we can still measure HRV and see if you're more prepared for that challenge approach versus potentially the threat approach.
Yeah, so it's definitely more about self-regulation than just heart rate itself, because we're looking more at the kind of neural control of the heart,
right,
rather than just heart rate itself.
This is fascinating. Excellent. Excellent. Good start. Okay. So HRV is linked to quality of sleep, recovery, performance, overall health. Can you talk us through the relationship of how we can, in practical ways, beyond what we've started to talk about here, how we could utilize HRV on a daily basis or weekly basis, or it kind of sounds like almost hour by hour too. Let's start with athletes and then let's go to general population.
Yeah, so for an athletic population, it's definitely widely used within kind of like high performance environments. So they might use this, particularly in a training context. They do use heart rate variability as a training load measure, and it's also linked to potentially overtraining and burnout. Now, obviously, there is a physiological element associated with this. So, for example, if we're faced with a very fatigued athlete, our heart rate variability is probably going to be lower because we don't necessarily have those kind of self-regulation resources left to be able to actually kind of adapt to the environment. So it might be that they need a rest day, for example. From a kind of psychological standpoint, definitely taking those kind of daily heart rate variability measures and really having that kind of self-care, so understanding where you're at every single morning is really useful. But also kind of having that understanding of what's happening to me in context. So for example, go to the basketball free throw, like you mentioned. If that's a controllable situation, which we know that is, we know that they're going to happen, can we then maybe test the psychological intervention that we've given to that athlete? So maybe a pre-performance routine that has breathing within it. Are they able to get to a particular psychophysiological state? Can they know better if they're understanding the information that the app is giving them, for example, and their own psychological states? It's really good for self-awareness for training of athletes as well. So kind of understanding, okay, this is how I feel, and actually this is being reflected in my physiology as well. So again, that self-awareness is really important, and I've used it with athletes in that way as well.
Very good. Very good. Okay. And then general population suggestions there on how folks that are saying, hey, I'm just trying to live a better life. I'm just trying to up my game at work or be more focused at home. Any ways that we can utilize it in that context?
Yeah, for sure. It's almost very similar because we're still looking at things that kind of like a performance and wellness basis. So for people that are looking at kind of more general well-being, we know that higher heart rate variability is associated with better wellness and better health. So if you think about kind of the physiology of it, if our heart is able to adapt and be very variable to kind of stressors and things in the environment, our body is actually then coping with those mm-hmm. demands. So
if you can build on that, the general health and wellness, where can people utilize that on a daily basis to help them if they are trying to monitor changes in alcohol or changes in sleep or travel stressors or those kinds of things? Is there an application to daily life?
Yeah, there definitely is an application to daily life because heart rate variability really is something that is changing all of the time. And like we said at the beginning, a healthy heart should be variable. So we should be seeing these adaptations in our heart. So we know that, you know, getting plenty of sleep is going to improve heart rate variability. Actually, physical fitness improves heart rate variability as well. So we know that those people who are obviously more physically fit then increase their heart rate variability. So really doing those kind of day-to-day things that we know are good for us, so getting enough sleep, making sure that we keep physically active, eating particular things can also increase our heart rate variability. For example, oily fish. There are studies that have found that that increases heart rate variability as well. Mm. And again, kind of avoiding those things that we know might decrease heart rate variability. So for example, excessive alcohol, smoking, obesity, that can also influence heart rate variability. But really what I would suggest for kind of day-to-day monitoring of this is really knowing your baseline. So if you're monitoring it every single day, understanding where you're kind of at day-to-day, and then if you're not necessarily meeting that baseline or you're under the baseline, perhaps reflect on your week and think, okay, well, why is my baseline? Oh, well, actually, I got a really bad night's sleep last night, or I had a really stressful week at work, and it's the end of the week, and I need a bit of a relaxing weekend to kind of help me recharge. So I think really knowing your own baseline in terms of heart rate variability is really good just for day-to-day wellness.
Well, and I think the other thing that plays here is when it comes to wellness, one of the struggles we all have, whether with ourselves or folks we're working with, is there's not an immediate feedback mechanism. If you start eating better, you might feel slightly better, but it tends to take weeks, months, years to see that influence. Exercise, you know, the first month, it doesn't feel that great, but then once you get into it, it starts to feel good, you know, sleeping better. So it sounds like this would be something that maybe it's not an immediate change, but we could see some gradual improvement in that HRV as we make changes as a feedback mechanism.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one really kind of potent thing that will directly influence your heart rate variability when you do it is slow-paced breathing. So actually slowing your breathing down. There's loads of breathing apps that you can use for this. My particular favorite is called Breath Pacer. It's a little sunflower icon. If you actually slow your, just for those that are listening, you can find it. You can literally slow your breathing down to a particular rate. And actually that will automatically increase your heart rate variability. So that is something that is quite instant in terms of increasing heart rate variability. And the research is definitely improving around this area. We've definitely seen increase in this. So for example, we ran a study on using slow-paced breathing before sleep, in comparison to kind of like iPhone usage. Mm-hmm. Other mobile phones are available. And what we found was those people who were actually using the slow-paced breathing app had significantly improved kind of subjective sleep quality, although heart rate variability didn't necessarily change overnight. We did see that it did improve. So that's definitely something that we can see kind of instantaneously with heart rate variability.
Is HRV age and or sex specific? Can a person compare their HRV at, let's say, age 30 to age 60? Does it change over time, similar to something like max heart rate as we age, even if staying fit and healthy? What are some of the suggestions along those lines?
So definitely there are individual differences that we have to take into consideration with heart rate variability. So for example, gender. So women do have higher levels of cardiac vagal activity than men, as a kind of like a general observation. And then in terms of age, that obviously also influences heart rate variability as well. So heart rate variability actually decreases every 10 years until you're around 40 years old. So we do see that it does start to drop off. So we can't necessarily compare somebody who's 20 with somebody who's 40, because there will be a difference in that. And that's something that we have to control for in research as well.
Let's circle back once more on when to do your assessment, because I see different things. We talked about morning is the Garmin recommendation. You mentioned using something like Elite HRV app that you could do it throughout the day. Would there be value in say, I'm going to check it every day at lunch and kind of see how my stress has been in the morning, or I'm going to check it at lunch and end of the day and see any suggestions along if there's value in doing those kinds of things?
Yeah. So the reason that you kind of see morning measurements as a recommendation is that that's obviously going to be not influenced by like our circadian rhythm. It also means we've just woken up, so we haven't necessarily eaten breakfast. We haven't done any of our usual routines yet. So it means that our baseline is going to be more reliable. Mm-hmm. And now because heart rate variability can be influenced by so many different variables, I would definitely recommend taking it in the morning to get a baseline to compare to. Say, for example, you're then taking it at lunchtime. Your lunchtime might look very different day to day. So that reading isn't necessarily going to be comparable. You might be able to use it understand kind of regulating in that environment, maybe Okay, I'm going to quickly look at my heart rate variability before I go into this really important presentation for work.
Right.
Where is it at? Okay. And then afterwards, you might then look at it because it might be that it's depleted over that kind of stressful situation that you've been in. So it might be that we could use it for day-to-day scenarios like that. But if we're comparing day-to-day, I would definitely say look at kind of that morning routine because it's be more comparable, but potentially looking at your heart rate variability before and after an event might be something interesting for people to look at.
Okay, good. All right, totally off topic here, but I saw you're a pretty serious netball player, and I have to admit, I didn't even know what the sport was. So after looking into it a little bit, I understand it's somewhat similar to basketball, but there's no dribbling, no running.
Yeah.
There's seven players. You got to pass the ball within 3 seconds. The ball and the basket are a little bit smaller. There's no backboard, which just sounds crazy to me. And then you're designated to a certain area. Totally off topic, but just can you enlighten us a little bit about this sport and why, how you fell into it and why it's become one of your hobbies?
Yeah, it's really funny because it really is not well known in the US and Canada. What it is, but yeah, it's exactly how you described. So it's kind of a blend of, I'd say, kind of basketball and handball. Yeah, you have like specific positions of attack and defend. You're either kind of like an attacker or a defender. Yeah, great sport. It's really growing, particularly over in the kind of Commonwealth here. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa are really kind of great. It's really improving. We just had last year the Netball World Cup hosted in the UK as well, which was really, really good. And yeah, I just got into it because I'm tall. So it's a benefit to be tall in the sport. So
yeah, sure.
Much like basketball and volleyball. Yeah. It's a really great sport. It's definitely growing. It'd be great to get it in the Olympics one day.
Very fun. Very fun. Yeah, I was just curious when I saw that about you. All right, just a couple more. As far as how you're using HRV in your own life, either in your sport or your profession, your daily life, talk us through what you're doing with it. Aside from the research, what are you doing with it with you?
So something that I really like to do, because obviously I have a portable ECG, which is what we use for our research. I tend to put that on if I know that I'm maybe doing something that's quite stressful, or I'm potentially, you know, doing something out of the ordinary, because you can then really kind of reflect on what was happening in your heart during that time. So I've worn it in a presentation before, and it's quite shocking how high your heart rate can get during the presentation, but also kind of the depleting nature of that on your self-regulation resources. So I think in one presentation my heart rate got up, so I was pretty stressed, I think, during that, but also you see a difference in heart rate variability. So just off the top of my head, using a measure called RMSSB, which is a reflection of cardiac vagal activity, I think my resting rate was around kind of 80, and during the presentation it went down to around kind of 25. So that real drop really just shows you that, you know, I was really kind of working hard to do my best in the presentation, and it was really quite taxing. But I think looking at that, I find really interesting. And also something that I do in my daily life is also using the breathing techniques, and not necessarily always measuring heart rate variability, because I know the impact that it has on heart rate variability. So using it before bed. So again, just using that breath pacer app, setting breathing rate to kind of like 4.5 seconds for an inhale and 5.5 seconds for an exhale. Using that for kind of sleep, but I also use that for any kind of situations where I know that I need to perform. So in netball, for example, when the ball is coming back down towards my end of the court, or potentially if the game is getting quite like competitive and we're getting quite close. I definitely use those techniques that I know are going to influence my heart rate variability in that moment in time.
So when it went from 80 to 25, what happened afterwards? Did it come right back up, or was there a depleting factor where then for the next hour it stayed 30, 35?
Yeah. So again, off the top of my head, I don't have the specific numbers, but I definitely didn't get back to resting level. So I didn't get back up to where I was before. And if we think about this in kind of like a daily life stressor or sporting stressor scenario, we don't necessarily just have the one thing thrown at us in one certain situation. We're constantly faced with multiple stresses in work, in life, in sport. So actually, how can we then bounce back? And, you know, if we've been depleted, how do we get back and improve our heart rate variability for the next challenge? So I definitely didn't get back to resting levels. And it's really thinking about, okay, well, how can I get back to those baseline levels as quickly as possible?
You've got me thinking on a totally different path here, and you feel free to say, no, we have no idea at this point, Brad, but I'm thinking of a cyclist or a runner. And instead of, you know, some people train or race based on heart rate. So they want to stay at X percent of their max heart rate during a 10K or a half marathon or a marathon or a triathlon event. Could this be a tool in that situation where you know you need to keep your HRV at this level, and if it's not, you need to dial it back a little bit, take in a little more fluid? Has that been looked at all, or do you have some hypotheses on that potential?
I think the main thing that we really struggle with, particularly obviously being a sports psychology researcher, is the fact that when movement or excessive movement is then introduced, we know that then heart rate variability, it really can't be a reliable measure anymore. We also then have to think about the effect of physical exercise on heart rate variability. So when that then happens, sympathetic activity is going to be completely taking over control, if you like. So there is apparently somebody out there developing an algorithm to still get that vagal information from heart rate variability while movement is taking place and while physical activity is taking place. I haven't seen that come out yet, but that will be really interesting to be able to kind of pair back. Okay, well, this is the kind of physical exercise or movement that's influencing heart rate variability, and then being able to kind of pull out that kind of more neural control. But at this moment in time, we don't have that, unfortunately.
So stay tuned.
Don't know how long it'll take, but
very good. Well, last question, just any final words of wisdom for folks that are looking to either help others improve their health and wellness using HRV or trying to improve their own personal or athletic pursuits that you'd like to share that we haven't talked about yet or you want to build on?
I think the kind of main message is really, if you want to measure heart rate variability day to day, definitely take it at the same time of day. Ideally in the morning, because that's going to give you a really reliable measure to compare against. I would also recommend looking at how you adapt in certain situations. So kind of take a resting measure, then take a measure or have a look at your heart rate variability during a task, and then potentially look at your recovery rate. So really start to look at those kind of three phases of heart rate variability. So the rest, the kind of task element, and then actually the recovery. So by doing that, you really start to understand how you regulate in those situations. So I think it's more than just looking at baseline. It's also thinking about, okay, well, how can I take this and maybe look at it before and during a stressful meeting? Or how can I use this before a match and then look at it after a match? So I think kind of moving away from just looking at baseline and looking at those different situations might give people a bit more of an insight of how to use heart rate variability.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Dr. Mosley, love this stuff. How can people follow you if they want to keep track of what you're working on, your latest research, those kind of things?
Yeah, sure. I'm on Twitter, so you can follow me at Emma_Mosley. Quite simple. M-O-S-L-E-Y for those that don't know how to spell it. So yeah, follow me on there. Feel free to drop me a DM and I can answer any questions more specifically on there.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
A big thank you again to Dr. Emma Mosley. I don't know about you, but I have added a note in my calendar to start regularly checking my HRV. Very interested to start seeing what kind of patterns show up and those, how it relates to athletic and general daily performance. Also, the app she recommended is called the Elite HRV app. As I looked into some more details about it, she's not the only scientist that leans that way. Thank you, as always, for joining us. The podcast has grown almost 4 times over the last year, and it's thanks to you. Thanks for sharing it with friends and peers. Keep up the great work there. It really makes a difference. If you ever have questions related to health and wellness coaching, you can reach out to us via our website, catalystcoaching.com. catalystcoachinginstitute.com or email us anytime, results@catalystcoachinginstitute.com. Now let's go get better. Today is the day. The next step in our journey, folks, starts right now. So let's do this. This is Dr. Bradford Cooper signing off. Make it a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you soon on the next episode of the Catalyst Health, Wellness, and Performance Podcast.